You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 26th of March 2021, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Once again, we've reached the end of another week, and you know what that means. It means the weekend is almost here, and we have with us today Grandpa Dan. Grandpa, good day, sir. How is life treating you?
Well, you know, now that I am I've discovered and we're about to share the idea that by simply existing, we're genetically predisposed to the evils of racism. You know, it's kind of like being let off the hooks, man. I think we can't be responsible for the racism anymore, since apparently it's in our very genes.
It is. We just cannot help ourselves. And we have a really great article today. I can't make up my mind whether this woman is actually trolling her husband here or whether she really is just justifying bad behavior and the threat of violence. We're actually talking about Harry and Meghan's new strategist, who has revealed that she realized she was racist after marrying her black husband. And I just have to stop there because, I mean, this is what I mean by passive-aggressive, and is she actually trolling this guy? So she was saying she wasn't racist until she actually married a black guy. And I mean, that is pretty much saying that what people say about these other races is true, isn't it? I mean, and this is what we say. There would be no racism if we didn't have the races all living together within one territory. But what does it say to you, Grandpa, when someone says to you, I wasn't racist until I married a black man?
Well, it's hard to make a whole lot of sense out of this, because as we go through this, it's just this hodgepodge of virtue signaling and other nonsensicals. And yeah, that's definitely one way to read it. But fear not, listeners, because we have yet begun to travel down the rabbit hole of this racism narrative here.
Well, the lady's name is Genevieve Roth, and I don't know if she's taken her husband's surname there or whether she is possibly not actually white. Perhaps you might have some opinions on that, Grandpa, that you would like to share later. But Genevieve Roth believes that all white people are rife with internalized racism and unconscious bias. She says race is an issue in our marriage because, as a white woman of privilege, I have racist tendencies written in at a cellular level. And she's also a former Hillary Clinton aide. Now, she says that we have racist tendencies written in at a cellular level. And I don't think she actually realizes the actual truth in that. There are racial differences at the cellular level. And we do instinctively wish to be with our own kind. If we did not instinctively wish to be with our own kind, we would not have these separate races. They would have blended out thousands of years ago, and they haven't. They have kept to their own people. We can look at studies that are done with 6-month-old children, and they would rather be with their own race than they would be with a female of another race, which tells us that we have these instincts to actually be with our own people. And yet what she is implying here is that this is a cultural concept. This is a cultural thing that she has. She just has this racism that's inside of her, and she didn't realize it until she married this black guy. But this all gets so passive aggressive. I do actually feel sorry for her black husband being married to a woman like this. But what do you make of what Genevieve Roth has to say here, Grandpa?
Well, I didn't discover an early life on her, so I had to just go by the pictures I found of this woman. And the over and under on Hello, My Fellow White People, I think, is leaning heavily, leaning heavily that direction. I think it's safe to say, think it's safe to go out on a limb here and say that her point with this racist at a cellular level is not the way you're reading it. I'm pretty sure this is yet another way in the anti-white race hating narrative to basically say that white people are racist and evil on a genetic level. It's in our genes to be racist and evil, because if it's just a part of nature, well, of course, this would also apply to black people. We always hear, like you brought up that study and such, and they always point, you know, show pictures of like white babies. But the fact of the matter is, you know, black babies are going to be the same way. Isn't that true? I mean, how about you go, they have these pushes to have like black dolls in the supermarket because black children want to play with dolls that look like them, which makes a certain amount of sense. But, you know, when it's framed as this is an evil and bad thing, it's always only applied to white people. And I find something, you know, and we read this and it's all, like I say, there's so much virtue signaling and gibberish in here, but I can't help but to notice like a sinister undertone, not to read too much into it. But, you know, when somebody is basically saying that you are evil because racism is like the highest evil in our society, when somebody is making the assertion that you are evil on a genetic cellular level, it's in your DNA to be evil, this is really a very, you know, a very huge step in the effort to dehumanize you. You just can't be dealt with. You can't even be reeducated. You can't, you know, nothing can be done with you because it's in your very genetics to be evil. And where that leads, you know, I'll leave it up to the listeners to kind of see where that could go. But yeah, I view these things in the context of the anti-white race hating agenda narrative that's being presented here. And I don't think it's a really good look.
Well, if it is at the cellular level, then she really is living in denial. And I think that's really what we can take from this, is that she's basically trying to justify herself putting up with bad behavior. Roth is the founder of The Invisible Hand. I mean, even that sounds as if she's trolling to me. It's like The Hidden Hand. Well, she's the founder of The Invisible Hand, a female-led diverse team based in New York, of course, which is advising the Duke and Duchess of Sussex's Archie Well Foundation. In an article for Good Housekeeping last year, she wrote about the notion of white privilege and her heightened understanding of it after marrying her husband, Jordan, with whom she shares a daughter, Frankie. She cited an example of how she mentioned to her husband while they were driving to look for holiday homes that their license plates were nearly expired. "He got so angry with me that I worried he would crash the car," Roth wrote. So what is she saying there? She's saying that he got furious and she thought he was going to crash the car. She thought he was not going to be able to keep control of his emotions because obviously he couldn't. He was getting angry with her and she thought he was going to crash the car and kill both of them. And I mean, that is a threat of violence, isn't it? And of course, you just know that she's basically going to justify this. And this just, again, I say this so many times, the evidence that they come out for racism is exactly the same evidence that we come out with to say there are differences between the races. I mean, if you were looking at holiday homes and you said the license plates were nearly expired and it was a white husband in the car and he got so angry with his wife that she was worried he was going to crash the car, we would be told that this was domestic violence. We would be told that this woman needed to leave her husband. But it's not the case when it is a black husband. Apparently, the fault lies with the woman, and that is what she is saying here. Grandpa, what do you make of this threat of violence here that she is justifying?
She was driving along and was panicked because there for a minute she thought she was on a toll road. I mean, isn't it funny how in this very deal she basically frames up the stereotype? You know, she offhandedly says, hey, baby, the tags are almost up. And he just goes off on her. It's like, isn't this basically presenting a stereotypical narrative of black male behavior? Isn't this too? You see, the rabbit hole never ends. You can just keep spiraling further and further down in the rabbit hole of the racism. You know, he just almost, and I take this story, we were talking about this before we started recording, and I take her stories, honestly, with a grain of salt. He very much may have gone off on her, and it might have been because she'd been sitting there just bumping her gums and nagging for like the last 30 minutes, and he just got tired of hearing it. But it's also quite possible that she's making all this shit up. because it makes a really good story. She, again, she's trying to create a story. She's trying to create a narrative for us here. So we can't take these people at their word. He may or may not have gotten really angry because she had the nerve to say the tags were expired, or she just might have made it up because as we go along here, I mean, it's obvious this woman is not above a little bit of drama.
Well, it is a stereotype, isn't it? This is the point. I mean, she's given us these stereotypical images of the black guy freaking out and getting furiously angry at just being told that the license plates were nearly expired. This is what I mean by she's being so passive aggressive. And, you know, the poor black guy, you know, he's reading about this and he's like, I would be like, what the hell are you doing writing all this terrible stuff about me? And then she's saying, oh, yes, but it's really my fault, of course. And it just seems to me like she's trolling him. Her husband, she said, then explained to her, do you realise that if a cop pulls us over for expired tags, I could be killed? Ross says she had not realised that, no. And the reason why he says this is because when the police do try to pull the black guy over, a lot of the time the black guy will try to escape and you'll think it's a cops and robbers chase. And then when the police guy does actually pull him over and says, put your hands on the dash, don't move, the black guy will start freaking out and moving his hands around and shifting things around and saying, I didn't do anything, I didn't do nothing, I didn't do nothing. And the police officer will get freaked out because the guy will not put his hands on the dash where he can see them, and he ends up having to shoot the guy. And I've seen this happen so many times in videos that they will pull them over and instead of doing what they're told, they just refuse to do it. I've seen it happen in Britain, and they put these videos up as examples of police brutality and police picking on the black guy. And it is always because the black guy is refusing to do what he is told to do. I'm sure you must have seen instances of this, Grandpa. What do you make of what he says here about if he gets pulled over, he could be killed?
Well, believe it or not, this was one of the first things that made me skeptical that even any of this shit she's saying is even true. Because let's be honest here. Yes, she has a black husband, but I seriously doubt this woman, who was an aide to Hillary Clinton, went down to the hood and picked up a thug that was working the street corner, you know, hustling, got his hustle on down here on the street corner. I don't know anything about this guy's background, obviously, but I mean, just simple logic tells me, I doubt seriously this woman went to the hood to find, you know, just a random black guy working on his hustle on the street corner. So more than likely, I would guess this guy's probably got a middle-class background. So this notion that he's running around, he's driving around, it's like, well, have you ever been pulled over by the cops before? I'm assuming the answer is yes. At a certain age, at some point, everybody's been pulled over by the cops. Well, you didn't get killed then. You know, I mean, I think about years ago, I got referred to a doctor, to a specialist, and I go in there and the doctor is black. And I mean, he was really nice guy, dressed well, had him a snazzy bow tie on, knew what he was talking about. We had a nice conversation and all was good. And I doubt seriously that guy, when he's driving his Mercedes home from the doctor's office and gets pulled over for speeding, I doubt he's sitting there freaking out that the cops are going to walk up there and, because of the color of his skin, you know, empty their Glock into him. And again, I mean, I'm just having to guess here because, you know, but I think logic would say, you know, this guy's probably got some sort of middle class or even upper middle class background that she's wound up with him. So this is one of the first things that make me think, did any of this even really happen? Or is this drama queen making it up? And you brought up a great point, Sven. Regardless of if it happened or not, how's this guy feel? I mean, if he's sitting here reading this article, and I mean, yeah, my reaction if I was her husband would be like, what are you doing? You're making me look like I was about to change. I was just about to go off on you over license tags. You're making me look horrible. You know, so yeah, she's got to be a lot of fun to live with.
You know what she's saying? Oh, it's all my fault. It's perfectly fine for me to write about these terrible things that you're doing because I'm justifying it by saying that it's my fault. I mean, this is what she's saying here. In another example, she says Jordan mentioned while driving along the same road that this is the same borough where Eric Garner was murdered. Garner, a black man, was killed in a chokehold during an arrest in New York in 2014. Roth wrote, I mean, I really had not realized. And again, it seems to me she's being sarcastic there. I mean, why the hell should she realize? Why should she be keeping up to date with every single black guy that ends up getting killed and turned into a saint by Black Lives Matter and exactly where it was that he got killed. There's no reason why she should know that. Again, it seems to me this is passive aggressive. And it makes him look bad. She's basically making him look really bad and then saying, if this happens to you, you should blame yourself for it. You should justify what is happening. She really seems to me to be living in denial. You must remember what happened with Eric Garner. He was the original, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. Do you remember that, Grandpa?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember it. And again, who even actually would remember the very area where he came? Now, when you overlay the Me Too narrative on top of this, I mean, she's making the guy sound like he's just a domestic abuser. I mean, she's really, and like you said, I mean, she keeps trying to, oh, but it's my fault, but it's my fault. But once again, if you're looking at this through the lens of the Me Too narrative, well, she's acting like a victim of domestic violence, because we're told the victims of domestic violence always wind up saying it's their own fault. She's really making this guy look bad. And as you're pointing out, she's trying to gloss it over with, oh, but it's actually all my fault. It's really all my fault. But it really is just making it look like, oh no, darling, you're a victim of domestic. He's verbally abusing you and obviously threatening you with violence of some sort or another. She's really not painting him in a very, very positive picture here, but apparently that doesn't matter, because this entire thing is all about virtue signaling, about what a great person is. She not only buried a black man, but now she's understanding her racism. And to understand that, she has to tell you, you know, about basically, I guess, how she's going around living in fear, because he might just exact the toll on her at any moment.
Well, I should just point out there a little bit more details about Eric Garner. When he was arrested, he'd been arrested something like 15 or 16, maybe 17 times for the same thing, which was selling cigarettes to underage kids. So the police did have a reason to actually arrest him this time. And they were basically trying to hold the guy down because he was about 7 foot tall and about 4 foot round. And I believe he actually ended up dying of a heart attack, and the police were actually cleared. I wasn't mocking the fact that somebody had died there. I'm just really pointing out the fact that there is so much passive aggressiveness in the way that she describes this. Now, in another passage, she said, "Or every single time we fight and I say, when you start yelling, I stop listening, without realizing that what I hear as a yell is just how they talk in his family. And that half the time I think I'm fighting with Jordan, he isn't even mad." I mean, what a thing to say. She's saying the guy can't even talk normally. He just yells and shouts at her, and they're all just as uncivilized like that in his family. And I thought I'd just tell the world this and then blame myself for it. For some reason, it's my fault that he yells at me all the time. That's just how black people talk, you know. I mean, it's just so full of stereotypes here. I mean, maybe you're right, Grandpa. Maybe she is one of these pretend whites, and that's why she's putting all these stereotypes in there. What do you make of what she has to say here about how all black people ever do is yell at one another?
Well, I mean, she married this guy. She has a child with this guy, and she's telling like her discoveries. I'm thinking, like, do you know nothing about black people to begin with? You know, I mean, black people generally, I mean, this is not an incorrect thing she's illustrating. Black people didn't generally talk loud. I don't even understand why she would, you know, but she's saying after she was married, you know, she finally realized that it wasn't, yeah, black people are loud. I mean, if you ever said, or, you know, if you've ever been hanging out with a group of black people, believe it or not, I have. I know that would come as a shock to some, but I mean, they do, they talk loud and they get in a group and they get real boisterous. Doesn't mean anybody's mad or something's fixing to break up. They're just loud. I mean, just talk loud. That's the way they do. And I can't help but sit here and think she married this guy, she had a child with this guy, and apparently she knows absolutely nothing about the culture, the way they act, the way they talk to one another, to where it came as a shock to her. She thought he was yelling at her. She didn't understand anything about that. I mean, why would you do that? I mean, would you go and buy like a car, you know, and not know anything about the car? I mean, how would she not marry this guy from a different race and at least not take the time to understand something about them? Are we supposed to believe that she was so into the race doesn't exist thing that she thought she was basically marrying a white guy with black skin? I mean, you would think somebody would go ahead and take the time to like at least understand something about the way they are, their culture, how they interact with one another. So you can observe that, because it's not real hard. I mean, just a few minutes of observation, you understand, oh, wow, these people generally talk loud. They get boisterous. You know, they're real animated in the way they express themselves, whether it's humor or anger or whatever the case may be. They're very animated in the way they do. And it's not a negative thing. It's just the way they are. But apparently we're supposed to believe all of this, and we're supposed to believe that she didn't even bother learning any of this stuff. Does she know anything about the guy, or did she just marry some random guy? Because when you read this, you have to think, well, how long did they date? Well, why did she not bother learning anything? Was she so self-centered and just focused on herself and the virtue signaling that could be involved in marrying a black man that she didn't bother learning anything about blacks?
Well, it's like she's basically giving a list of reasons for why somebody would quite reasonably be upset at somebody. I mean, this guy yells at her. He makes her feel like she's going to crash the car when she gets in it. And then she says, and the reason why I'm upset is because I'm racist in my DNA. And it really does seem to me as if she is saying, look, this guy is an absolute monster, and I'm just making excuses for it and saying that it's my DNA that's caused me to not understand and to not see this as being civilized behavior, because it's not civilized behavior to yell at someone all the time and make them feel like you're going to crash the car in a double suicide when they point out that the license plates might be out. She concluded the piece by saying that she had recently taken to posting about these occasions on Instagram to raise awareness of ways in which my own bias and internalized racism had hurt our partnership. Really? I think she's just posting these occasions to belittle her husband and tell the world about all the out-of-order things that he has done. She says, it is hard work, it is embarrassing and shameful, and every time I post, I fear that this latest confession could be the one that will expose me as irredeemable, too privileged to be deserving of the man I love, too far gone to be a suitable mother to my black daughter. Well, her black daughter, I mean, when you think about that, she's probably actually got more genetically in common with the Queen of England than she actually does with her black daughter. And she says here that she's trying to raise awareness, and it's very shameful and it's very embarrassing. It just seems to me she's trying to push her black husband as far as she can get away with. And, you know, this could very easily all end in tears when he reads quite what she has been writing about him, I think.
Oh, yeah. And apparently she's been nonstop posting about him on Instagram, too. I'm coming away from this entire story very sympathetic towards the husband, to be honest. I mean, now we know not only has she written this story, you know, which, as we've already pointed out, paints him in a really bad light, whether it's true or not. You know, now she reveals that she's been posting apparently nonstop to Instagram to, quote unquote, raise awareness of ways in which my own bias. And as you keep pointing out, it's very true. She's very passive aggressive in this. No, it's me. Let me tell you all the things that make him look horrible. But don't worry, it doesn't count, because at the end, I'm going to wrap it up with, it's because of my own genetically instilled racism. That's the reason. Doesn't matter that she's continually is making these posts on Instagram and everything else, you know, painting him in this horrible light. She just keeps wiping it over with, oh, it's okay, it's because really the problem is all me. I'm very sympathetic to the husband here, because I mean, just with the little snippet of information we get from this, I can tell you right now, this woman's probably extremely difficult to live with. She's one of those people that sits there and pushes the man's buttons continually. I mean, it's obvious she continually pushes the guy's buttons. And then as soon as he snaps over it, she runs to Instagram and posts all about it. What the hell's wrong with people? Why can't people just keep things private? You know, I mean, why can't people like just, you know, this is a private matter between my spouse and myself. We're not going to share this to the world. These are things we keep in the home and we work these things out. But no, she's got to throw that away, because this is a chance to virtue signal once again about herself. It doesn't matter how much she paints him as the bad guy. The one thing all of this narrative she's throwing out here has in common is everything is about me, 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 me. Oh, it's me. Look at me. But I'm trying to be better. I'm afraid I might be irredeemable. Doesn't matter how much she smears her husband. Doesn't matter how she's not giving any background. I doubt she brought up if this happened at all. I doubt she just brought up the tags and he snapped. If it happened at all, she'd probably been sitting there pushing his buttons for the last hour and a half. And then finally it was enough. And he snapped at her. You know, but then she turns around and runs and tells the world so that she can virtue signal about it. I think what you're saying is correct, Finn. I don't think this is the potential to end real well.
It really does evoke a lot of sympathy for the husband, I think. A graduate of Emerson College and Columbia Journalism School publishing course, Roth has also worked with the White House and Let Girls Learn, a U.S. government initiative launched by former President Barack Obama and wife Michelle. Well, when has anybody ever prevented girls from learning? Again, just that title is passive aggressive, isn't it? Let girls learn, as if all the men in the world are somehow preventing women from educating themselves. She also worked as the director of creative engagement for the 2016 Clinton presidential campaign. A statement said the invisible hand would be focusing on strategic change through storytelling and community building in support of gender and racial equity. And of course, that's what she's doing, isn't it? She's just telling stories. I mean, all of this anti-racist stuff is based on storytelling. None of it is actually based upon facts. None of it is actually based upon cold, hard science. It is all based upon storytelling and blaming white people for black people's own inadequacies. And if black people were just among their own other black people, there would be no inadequacies, would they? They would be equal. They would all be equal together. There'd be no discrimination. There'd be no prejudice. But because we all have to live together in this multicultural dystopia, there is this need for storytelling, which is what she's doing here. I think it's very important that a lot of this, she's actually being honest while trying to be dishonest, because that's what it is, isn't it, really? It's just storytelling that she's involved in.
Yeah, you kind of stole my thunder with that. I mean, it is. She's storytelling, whether the story is fiction or nonfiction or a mixture of both, probably a mixture of both, is irrelevant because she's telling a story. And of course, the overall point of the story, the narrative she's creating, is again one to promote the anti-white race hating narrative. Kind of out on a tangent here, but just as an example, we had this latest shooting in Boulder, and the media people, all these people jumped on and went virtue signaling about, oh, look, it's a white male. We knew it's a white guy because they took him in alive. Oh, God, white men are the biggest terrorists. And then it winds up his name is Ahmed. And all of a sudden they all went around deleting their tweets. Why? Well, because they wanted to promote the anti-white race hating narrative. I saw a local news story the other morning, and police released the information on a suspect they were looking for. He shot 8 people outside of a club. One woman died. That's a mass shooting. Shot 8 people. One woman died. Well, why wasn't this national news? Because from the shooter to the people involved, everybody involved was black. Well, shouldn't Black Lives Matter? We're told that Black Lives Matter, but it's not. It's not, because that doesn't fit the anti-white race-hating narrative. They have got to – you're only going to hear about these stories, and the narrative is always shaped around that. Now, what makes this story interesting is because we see that clashing when you overlap it with the anti-white male narrative of, you know, Me Too, and women are these victims of all of these men and such. And so you have this kind of, it kind of crashes into one another, where she's painting her husband in this horrible light while also trying to get virtue signaling points about how not racist she is, but yet she realizes she is racist, but she's trying to overcome it. But it must just be in her very genetic being. I mean, I don't know. We people like us get accused of the racism constantly, and I have to say, I think people like us probably treat blacks better than she's treating her own black husband.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. A spokesman for the Sussexes added, they join a rapidly expanding team that is deeply dedicated to advancing systemic cultural change and supporting compassionate communities across the world. So just basically a load of psychobabble there. Numerous reports have suggested Meghan is plotting a track to the White House, rumours which ramped up in the aftermath of her interview with Oprah Winfrey. Meghan's friends have previously encouraged speculation about her political ambitions, describing her rise from modest beginnings as the embodiment of the American dream. Is the American dream of a gold digger then? I mean, the embodiment of her dream seems to be to bag yourself a rich husband and have a father that spends all his money on sending you to drama school, and then bag yourself a rich husband, and then with the aid of the rich husband's royal ties, try to make it to being president. I mean, is that really the American dream, gold digging, do you think, Grandpa?
Well, yeah, apparently, I don't know. Apparently it is in this clown world. I got hung up back here on this line of dedicated to advancing systemic cultural change and supporting compassionate communities across the world. Where are they? Across the world, worldwide, huh? Systemic cultural change across the world. So do they plan to be working on changing the culture of countries in Africa, Latin America? No. We know they're not. They're working for systemic cultural change only in white countries, only where white people exist. We know this. I mean, this notion of worldwide communities across the world. No, they're not. They're not going to go do work in communities, make I don't know, Nigeria more compassionate. They're not going to do that. They're going to be focusing their efforts on white countries. And they try to make this, paint this picture that no, we're doing this for everybody, but they're not. And we know they're not. This is, it's a big, I don't know who's a bigger victim husband here. This woman's husband in this story or Prince Harry himself. It could be a close race.
Well, the article finishes up by telling us that the Duke, 36, and the Duchess, 39, of Sussex, last year faced a backlash after weighing in on the US election, breaking with centuries-old tradition that calls for members of the royal family to remain politically neutral. And again, this brings up the point of the royal family. All they really have to do to have all that adulation and all that honour and all that glory and all that money that is paid to them, it's just honour tradition. Is it really that hard just to honour tradition? Prince Harry is not even capable of doing that. First off, he ends up marrying someone from a different race, going against a tradition that is thousands of years old about royals marrying other royals. And then he breaks with tradition again and he starts interfering in the election. And they're not supposed to talk about politics. If they are going to talk about politics, you would think that they would actually speak up for white people, the people that they are supposed to actually represent. But of course, they didn't. They just spoke up to bash Trump and promote Biden, who just seems to stumble from one gaffe to another. I mean, it's just it's so embarrassing to see this guy that supposedly is the most popular man in the world, President Biden, who can't even walk up steps. I mean, he just looks so senile. He gave his press conference yesterday and he was stumbling over his words. He finished the press conference before he was supposed to have finished. He couldn't actually finish whole sentences. I mean, this guy is just absolutely pathetic. I mean, it's just so embarrassing for America to have gone from the greatness of Donald Trump to this senile old buffoon, Joe Biden. It's shameful. But what are your final thoughts on all of this, Grandpa, anyway?
Well, you brought up a great point. And the point of that royal tradition of marrying other royalty, or at least people that are members of the aristocracy, is that in his going out and marrying this woman, you know, you were talking about all they have to do is, you know, just follow, you know, support their traditions. But the thing is, they're not her traditions. He marries somebody not even from Britain. He marries this older, divorced, mixed race woman. And none of these royal traditions are hers. They're completely foreign to her. So why should she be expected to uphold and work to support the traditions? They're completely foreign to her. They have nothing to do with her or her background. And Harry is, I mean, honestly, he's so idiotic and he's such a simp for this that he can't tell her no. I mean, no matter how many times people were complaining about her behavior, his reaction was basically whatever Meghan wants, she gets. So the guy is very he's very whipped here. But they're not her traditions. How can she be expected to uphold those traditions? So once he went off on this track and broke the original tradition, and that's all on him. I mean, it's easy to hate on Meghan. She's a person that's easy to hate on. But I mean, he's the one that made the original decision to break with tradition and marry a foreigner of a completely, not just a foreigner, but a foreigner of completely different racial background. And then what? She's supposed to fill this role of upholding British traditions, but she's not British. They're foreign. They're not her tradition. They have nothing to do with her. She wants her own agenda. And you add into that the fact that she is so self-centered and self-absorbed. And yeah, you've got a toxic recipe for, well, quite honestly, the results we see here.
Well, we could make a valid point there, I think, Grandpa, that it was Harry that originally broke with traditions, and it was Harry that then set the example that Meghan has followed, really, when you think about it. And so really, the fault lies with Harry. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.